Luke chapter 2. Jesus has just been born. The shepherds are the first to recognize him. And then in verse, we studied 19 yesterday, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen as it was told unto them. Now these were the shepherds that, as we talked about, that they weren't just normal shepherds. They were the shepherds that were guarding the sacrificial flock. And they knew that Messiah would come from Bethlehem because of Micah. And it was throughout the Talmud, it says the shepherds would be the first ones to announce Messiah. And so now it says they returned, but the word returned there is they converted. Once they saw him, even though he wasn't what they expected, they converted. So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now we studied glorifying yesterday at doxazo, and we started to look at what the difference between glorifying God and glorifying yourself. And we studied the glorifying yourself in John 8, and now we're going to look at one more glorifying oneself in Revelation 18. Revelation 18. This is what you don't want to do. You don't want to glorify oneself. In John 8, if you do, you're called a child of Satan.
This is a hell not to.
Huh? Yeah, don't glorify yourself. Don't think that you're smart or nice or intelligent or.
How about glorifying somebody else's self?
That's the same. All right. What?
18.
We're going to start in verse. Let's just read, start in verse 1. After these things, and these things, in verse 17, the doom of Babylon was predicted. And now in 18, Babylon falls. And I have to repeat this. Babylon isn't the Catholic Church. It isn't anything that we could possibly think it is. Babylon is anyone who believes in cause and effect. That's why it says, come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. As long as you believe in cause and effect, that if you do this, that will happen, then you don't need it. That's the greatest enemy of faith and mercy and grace there is on the face of the earth. And all the people that spend their life teaching in the name of God how-tos, they're teaching people to wear the Babylonish garment.
Only is it in your thoughts within the scriptural bounds to have reasonable expectations as to cause and effect, but always know that God is capable and often does do things that are not as a result of cause and effect.
Well, that would only be as a child. You would speak as a child and think as a child. And the spiritual child would still be operating in cause and effect. But when I became an adult, I put away or divorced the childish things. Now you live in that moment of faith and faith alone, and any leaning on your own arm of understanding with regard to cause and effect puts you back out of faith.
I think that's the crossover. You know it exists. You can't deny it exists. It does exist. You don't invest yourself in it.
Amen.
Yeah.
So the knowledge.
You know that God's in control.
Yeah.
Not cause and effect.
Right.
That's
on his side.
Yeah, and the same thing, it's like whatsoever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. Everybody think that means you got to do your best. No. It might mean that, but what it really means is you have no investment in the outcome. Nick. Anyway, this is where freedom comes. When you step out of Babylon, Babylon is no longer your home. There's only two left, the bride and the whore. The vessels of wrath and the vessels of mercy. That's all that's left on the face of the earth. There's no more Jew or Greek. There's no more bond or free. There's no more male or female. There's only the vessels of wrath and the vessels of mercy, the bride and the whore. And if you don't know that, then you think Revelation is something that's going to happen in the future. But for you, Babylon must be destroyed internally. And let's read it. And after those things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every clean, unclean, and hateful bird. For all nations, or all people, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth, and it doesn't mean just kings, it means leaders, have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that you've received not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much hath she and all her people glorified themselves or herself and lived delicately, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. And the moment you think that the suffering that you're going through is strange, then you believe a false gospel. Because though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. How can you possibly think that anything is happening to you? You are a partaker. You're being honored to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. You don't suffer, you're dead. You don't glory, you're dead. So how much has she glorified herself, and how much have those who are of her ilk glorified themselves? Amen? All right, then go back to Luke.
While the merchandising thing, that's automatically part of Babylon, is the deal making and the,
yeah, you can't possibly have. That's how money is made. It's by merchandising.
Or just I'm just thinking your own deals that
you're doing.
Exchanging, I'll exchange this so that can happen, and it's like then I'll make something out of that. And
amen.
Go on and on.
You can never leave that moment of faith.
And that word glorified here means that Babylon, or she has put herself in the place of God. And then you, if you participate, buy into her program, and now you're subject to all the cause and effects.
Amen. All right, praising.
We're back to Luke.
Back to Luke 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Praising is aino, I-N-E-O. That's not the way it's spelled, but that's the way it's pronounced. And it means mostly to sing. And let's go back to Revelation and just see it. Now let's go first to Ephesians. Where does it say, be not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit? Ephesians I think it's Ephesians. I hope it's Ephesians. It's not in the place it should be. Anyway, it says, be not drunk with wine, but ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing and...
Ephesians 5,
18. Well, read it then.
Basically, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
And the rest of it.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart.
Okay. But that be not drunk with wine, and it's not talking about drinking wine, like it's the wine of Ephraim, which is the wine of self-seeking.
Which is intoxicating.
And it's intoxicating. You get these great plans of what you're going to do and what you're going to do with what you do when you get it. And then you've spent it all. But so be not drunk with the wine of Ephraim, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. That replaces musing and pondering and thought. Because you've seen it, that's just the nature of the. So let's now look at Revelation 19.
Yeah, and that can happen even if you're not musically inclined.
Yeah, thankfully. In Revelation 18, Babylon is destroyed. Now you can't sing if Babylon isn't destroyed. If you sing in praise before Babylon is destroyed, you're using praise and singing as sorcery to try to conjure up the presence of God. You go to some church and say, okay, now everybody stand up and praise God, because God inhabits his praises of Israel. But he doesn't if you do it by sorcery. You do it by position. Once you know that Babylon has been destroyed in you, then all you do is sing and praise. And so chapter 17 predicted the fall of Babylon. Chapter 18 is the fall of Babylon, but it has to first take place in you. Judgment always begins in the house of God. You are the temple of God. Babylon has to be destroyed in you, so you come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. Then praise. Let's go to Psalm 47 before we go to Revelation 19. 147.
Babylon is already destroyed. Right.
Babylon is already destroyed, but you think it is. You like to live in it.
Yeah, you like to not agree with God and try and make it work for you.
147, I think. Is that right?
Depends on what you want.
How can I sing the Lord's praise in the Lord's in a strange land? Maybe it's 127. No, 137. I knew it was 7 and the 1 in there somewhere. 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now Zion, remember Psalm 48 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the joy of the entire earth is this Mount Zion, which is shrouded in a mystery, the New Jerusalem, the city of the great King. And that New Jerusalem is now our overriding reality if we only have eyes to see. It came down on Pentecost. John saw it. It never went back up. How can we, if we're out here, if we're still in the world, if we're still in Babylon, we can't sing the Lord's song. Unless it becomes right or something you do because somebody told you to. You can only sing the Lord's song automatically from your heart when you know that you're in the New Jerusalem today, the mother of us all.
Isn't that true? Total repentance
as well? Total emptiness, total abandonment.
It's as pure as it gets.
Amen. All right, now.
It says shrouded in mystery.
That says, it says flanked on the sides of the north is what it says on the sides of the north, but it literally means flanked or shrouded in a mystery.
And it's shrouded in mystery because there's nothing in your mind that can comprehend the way it works.
No. Your mind cannot hear this. All right, Revelation 19. Your mind cannot hear, it's finished. Your mind cannot hear, you've been perfected by one offering. Your mind cannot hear, you own all things. Your mind cannot hear everything, every minute of every second of every day is perfect. You can't hear that. Your mind. So, well, no, what about that? What about that? What about that? Just like your mind can only live. Your mind is only capable of cause and effect. You can't even think about it. You can't even comprehend grace and mercy. And you can't even comprehend what really faith is. You run on trying to learn faith, but faith is just Jesus in you believing in himself once you've gotten out of the way. It's as automatic as breathing. Faith isn't faith unless it's automatic. Under any and every circumstance. That's why Satan was here, now his minion, your mind is the only one left. His purpose is to see if there's anything that can pull you out of the New Jerusalem, pull you off the mercy seat. And know your mind and your emotions do that so well. All right, Revelation 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. So, and by the way, this is the first time hallelujah is used in the New Testament. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts with cell phones fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many thundering, many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. The Lord our God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, which is his righteousness. If you are right about anything in the universe, if you think you're right about anything in time and space, that perfect garment is spotted by the flesh. Amen? So praise our Lord, Ion our Lord, great and small. And this is the word, the way that's written is singing. You can't help but sing when you see this. You can't help but praise him. You can't help but glorify him. And it never leaves you. It doesn't. You don't have this thing and then you go out there and do that thing. You only do one thing and you become integrated and you have for the first time maybe in your life true integrity. There isn't two of you. There's one. Amen? I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have any response, Nick? I saw your comments change a couple times. Amen. Gary?
Last thing, the scripture that I brought up this morning, that only when we come, or when I came, I only speak for myself, to really see this, could I have an appreciation for the scripture that says, God shares his glory with no one.
Amen.
We have nothing to boast of.
Amen.
Are there any exceptions?
And we got to remember, we hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, his life, he's the sanctification, he's being. But he didn't give those things. He is those things. He is the way. He is the truth. He is peace. He is life. He just gives you more of himself. He doesn't give you the things. And that's what everybody wants. That's the desire of your heart. That's what you were created for. But you've wandered around trying to do everything else in the universe, trying to get sustenance and satisfaction from everything else, all the while. The only way you can be complete is by emptying.
And even that's about him, is it not?
Oh, it's all about him.
And he's at work 24/7 in our lives to bring us more and more to that point.
More and more of him.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.